Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
This morning, we have with us a missionary to America here. We have Pastor Dan Zinnerkoff. This is Dan's home church. He grew up here. And not only that, but he was on staff back in the 80s. He did youth and he did worship. He has been a pastor, and now he's with RV Maps Church Mobilization. And he goes throughout Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah, helping churches and Christian ministries build facilities, expand their facilities, remodel their facilities. How many know if you don't have a facility, it's a little tough to do ministry? Yeah, it is. And so he's helping advance the kingdom of God, helping churches that would not be able to build, to expand, or reach their communities, and coming in and helping them do it at a price that they would not be able to afford normally. And he's going to come and share today. And would you help me in giving a warm welcome to Pastor Dan Zinnerkoff this morning? And by the way, before he comes, big reason he's in town is to celebrate his mom's 90th birthday. Elsie, where are you at here? Stand up, Elsie. She is 90 years old today. Give her a hand. And there is an open house from 2 to 4 out in the lobby today. Everyone's invited, all right? Take it away.
Thank you so much. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. It's good to be here. Oh, praise God. And I'm the quiet one in the family, in case you didn't know that. I've always been the quiet one, and I think God has a sense of humor because he called me into ministry. And it's frightening, it's scary to do what God asks you to do, but if you'll do it, he'll be faithful, and he'll provide, and he'll make a way. And I just encourage you this morning to step out and do whatever God asks you to do. My name is Dan Zinnerkoff, and Zinnerkoff is a good German name, and I probably, it's a name that means shaker head. Isn't that fun? And I'll tell you, I've heard about everything about Zinnerkoff, and I'm not going to share some of those because my family doesn't need to live that down, but shaker head, and I have struggled with that for years. Is it a bobblehead or what? Brother bobblehead, but a shaker head, and it finally dawned on me what that means. And for me, when God asks you to do something, I want to say yes, Lord. I want to shake my head and say yes, Lord. And I ask you to pray for us whenever you think of us, whenever you pray for us, pray that we will do what God asks us to do. And add a prayer to that that says you'll do what God asks you to do. Whatever God asks you to do, say yes, Lord. And that's what missions is about. That's what serving Jesus is about. It's about saying yes, Lord, to whatever he asks you to do. I grew up in this church, as Pastor said. I grew up in the old church downtown, and have fond memories, many Sunday evenings and Sunday mornings around the altar and sleeping on the pews and sleeping under the pews and walking home and riding home to church in the front end of a pickup truck with six kids. I don't know how we did it, but I think we were all a lot smaller back then, but it worked out. But the opportunity to minister is such a privilege. And we serve with the RV volunteers, and we work with church teams to help with construction projects for churches and ministries, for churches, for Bible colleges, campgrounds, teen challenge centers, Assemblies of God ministries. We are there to help with remodeling and repainting and updating and upgrading. Sometimes it's a large build. Sometimes it's just small things. Sometimes churches just need a little boost to get past a breaking point so that they can serve their community better. Because the building is not the church. The building is a tool. And I've learned over the years, the better tool I have, the better work I can do. When you try to cut a board with a handsaw, it doesn't turn out as well as if you have a table saw. The better tool, the better you can build. And in the church, the better tool, the better building, whatever, it's not about, but the better we can do, I believe it helps support ministry. And so that's my heart and desire, is to help churches. We work, like I said, with RV volunteers and church teams all across America. We have we probably have at least 100 projects on our list all the time. And we have more projects than we have help for. And so I'm here today to say, if you can help, we want you to get signed up and help. I'm here to recruit projects. I'm here to recruit people, because there's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom of God, and even America needs Jesus. I believe that there's a mission field in America. There's people that need Jesus living next door to you and down the street from you and maybe sitting next to you this morning. People need Jesus all over the world, and we can start where we're at and help those that are around us. RV volunteers, we have some who have sold their homes and live in their RVs year-round, and they go south in the wintertime for some reason, because they hear that there's a lot of snow in Wyoming and Montana and Colorado and Utah and Nebraska. But they come back this part of the country during this time of the year. So this is our busy time of the year helping churches in this part of the country. So pray for us. In a few minutes, I'm going to show you a little bit of a video of some of the work that we've done over this past year. We have some things upcoming this next month in Colorado. We'll be spending about a month to 6 weeks in Colorado. Seek and Save. I don't know if you've heard of Seek and Save, but the Assemblies of God is reaching out to major communities across the United States, and one of those is in Aurora, Colorado, August 15th through the 19th, seekandsave.ag.org. And they'll be doing, throughout that week, they'll be doing some street evangelism. They'll be working with Freedom International to help with to bring freedom to some who are maybe caught in human trafficking. They'll be doing a barbecue. And through this, they'll also be, we'll be doing a rehab on a church in Commerce City, close to Aurora. But that's part of the project that we'll be working on during the week, just to help freshen up one of the church facilities and help them. So that's a project we'll be on. And then we have projects in LaSalle, Colorado, in Center Colorado, a campground in Cedar Ridge. And there's, like I said, there's always work to do. If you'll just look around a little bit, you'll find something to do. And pray for us as we travel. I ask our people to pray for our RV volunteers, because we're out on the road in big rigs, and sometimes when we get older, our reflexes aren't as fast, and it's dangerous on the roads anyway. Pray for us that we'll have safety on the road, protection on the road, and also on the construction sites, because construction sites can be a dangerous place as well. So if you pray for us and pray for our RVers, pray for protection, for safety, for strength, for the work that we're doing. And we love what we're doing. We're thankful for what God is doing in our lives, in our ministry. Let's go ahead and slide ahead there. I want to show you some of our RVers and some of our projects real quickly. If you could move to that next slide. Well, went a little too far there. Go ahead and show that video. I think that's in there. Go ahead and let it roll if you would, please. Thank you. These are some of our wonderful people. Some of them are RVers. Some of them are church teams. You saw all sorts of things, from installing playgrounds to doing flooring. We do a lot of eating. We enjoy eating. How many of you like to eat? We've helped churches with curbing and with new entryways and bathrooms and facilities. It's wonderful to meet all sorts of people in the process. And some more eating. We had a church team that came from Tennessee to Montana to help with this church project. Dressed up the entryway, repaired some things on the roof, took care of some leaks. This is from the campground in Montana. Some of the cabins they're putting up, and a shower house. Our projects range in all sorts of things, and the people that we get to work with, it's a blessing. This is the campground in Utah, or not Utah, in Colorado, one of the metal buildings we put up for a recreation center. And these are some of our wonderful RVers at our national convention. We had a church in Colorado, a home church, that just needed to break out a wall and expand their territory. We took the wall out and put a nice live-edge maple bench seat in there to expand their facility. These are some of the people from the church there. An old dentist office storefront, we took walls out so that an international church could have a Bible study in Lincoln, Nebraska. So the projects are varied. The people have come with all kinds of skills, but we love the Lord. Love the Lord. RV park at the campground in Nebraska. And of course, we love to eat. Did I say that? Yeah, there's always food involved somewhere along the way. Thank you so much for your prayers and support. As a missionary, I just want to say on my behalf and on, I believe, every missionary, thank you for your prayers and your support. It means so much to us. Let's go to that passage of scripture that I have from Isaiah chapter 40. This one, how many of you were in Bible quiz? Remember Bible quiz? I memorized lots of scripture, and I remember memorizing a scripture from the New Testament, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I always heard that in my mind, talking about John the Baptist, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I always put that as the voice of the one calling in the wilderness was John the Baptist. And then I was listening to my Bible one morning. Sometimes I wake up early, and so I'll put on my Bible and just listen. And listening through Isaiah chapter 40 in the English Standard Version, it just hit me a little bit different than I've ever heard it. And it says, a voice cries. And then it goes on to say, in the wilderness prepare a way for the Lord. A voice is crying out, and I believe the voice of the Lord is crying out, and he's saying, in the wilderness prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight his path. Prepare a way for, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be brought low, and the uneven ground will be made level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How many of you want to see the glory of the Lord? I believe God wants to reveal his glory. But as I looked at this verse and I heard this the way I've never heard it before, he said, there's a voice crying, in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. And to me, that is what the church is about. The church's mission, the church's purpose is to prepare a way for the Lord to reveal himself, to remove the obstacles and the hindrances that would keep people from seeing the glory of the Lord. People are living in a wilderness. We live in a wilderness. Sometimes we're wandering in a wilderness, and people in their wilderness need to hear the voice of the Lord. People in the wilderness need to have the mountains brought down and the valleys brought up and a safe place prepared for them to come and experience the glory of the Lord. Every mountain will be brought down. This Casper Mountain, as large as it is, some people have problems and hindrances and habits and anxieties in their life that are bigger than the mountain. And we need to do what we can to remove those things and help them so that the mountains can be removed. We need to pray that those mountains would be removed so that they can see the glory of the Lord. And valleys, people that are living in valleys and discouraged and downhearted and depressed need the uplifted hand, need to hear the voice of the Lord, need to be strengthened and encouraged if we can come alongside them. That's the task of the church. And to me, that's why our RV volunteers and our church teams are helping churches, because we want to help prepare the way for the Lord to reveal himself to this generation, to our people. The church needs to prepare the way for the Lord. Back in the old church, when I was a young boy, I don't have a lot of memories, but I have a distinct memory of sitting in the back Sunday school room, back behind the platform. There was a little Sunday school room, and Sister Crow would teach Sunday school with the flannel graphs and all of those things. And I remember distinctly sitting in that classroom and learning about Jesus. And it was years later when I came back to serve on staff It happened to be my office as a youth pastor and music director. And I wanted to say, Lord, how you prepared the way to end up in the same place I started. And God takes us a long way around sometimes. How many of you know that the shortest distance isn't always, the shortest way isn't always the best way? I never dreamed, I never imagined that God would place me where I am today, but he took me there, and it wasn't a shortcut. And God has some big plans and dreams and desires for each of you, and sometimes it seems like the road is long, but I want to guarantee if you'll go with God, he'll make a way, and he'll get you where he wants you to be. This church has prepared a way for me. He's prepared a way for me to experience the joy of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. And that's the responsibility of this church today, is to prepare the way, to be the voice, to be the ones like John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord's first coming, for Jesus to come the first time. And I believe that we can work just like John the Baptist did, preparing the way for Jesus to come again, for his glory to be revealed. Let's remove the mountains, let's raise up the valleys, and allow the glory of the Lord to be revealed. That's my desire, that every physical hindrance, that everything would be removed so that people can see Jesus. Amen. Are you ready to hear from God's word now? Praise God. That was just a warm-up. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you this morning. I was asked this morning if we were going to have filet mignon, and I'm sorry, I don't have filet mignon this morning. But I have something else to offer you. And when missionaries, I used to love when missionaries would come, and sometimes we'd have those potlucks where you have food from different countries, and you get to taste all sorts of things. Well, being a missionary from America, I get to share some American food with you. Isn't that fun? And today we're gonna talk about salad. How many of you like salad? How many of you love salad? How many of you tolerate salad? Yeah, some of you, I won't ask if you hate salad, but we're gonna make a missionary salad this morning. We're gonna create a salad from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, if you want, it'll be on the screen here as well. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to find the lettuce in this passage of Scripture, because we're going to make a salad out of it. Let us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It goes on to say, it's not on the screen there, but it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. This morning, if I could give you any encouragement, I want to say this: do not lose heart. Even though you might be weary, do not grow weary. Do not lose heart. The Lord is with you. Number one, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets. Hinders and entangles us. The things that hinder us and the sin that entangles us. I'm not going to get into a distinction between what hinders and what entangles, but I want you to understand that there are things that obstruct us, that snare us, that stop us from moving forward. There are things in our lives that will pull us back and hold us back and weigh us down, expend our energy and sap our strength. And I encourage you this morning to do an assessment in your own heart, in your own life. I'm not going to point out everything, but if you will let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning, there may be some things in your own life, in your own heart, in your own mind that are keeping you from moving forward, that are slowing you down. And this morning we need to take this instruction of Scripture and toss off those things. Throw off everything that hinders us and separates us and entangles us. Things like unforgiveness, things like bitterness, anxiety, anger, lust, greed and pride. I hesitate giving a list because at some point you're going to either have something on the list or I'm going to omit what's really bugging you. But this morning, if you will hear the voice of the Spirit, you will know that there may be some things in your heart and your life that are keeping you from doing the best that you can do for the kingdom of God. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's profanity or laziness or unhealthy relationships. There's adultery. There's fornication. There's drunkenness. There's gluttony. There's debt. There's distrust. There's dishonesty. There's hobbies and habits and possessions and collections. Whatever it is, if it's hindering you, if it's stopping you, if it's slowing you down from doing what God asks you to do, it is time to throw it off. To throw off those things that so easily hinder us and entangle us so that we can run with perseverance. The point is, if something in your life is slowing you down or stopping your spiritual growth, it needs to be dealt with. It won't go away on its own. It will dig its claws in deeper and deeper. Let us throw off those things that so easily hinder us and entangle us. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, reveal that today. Let us, number two, not only should we throw off everything that hinders, but let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We need perseverance in the training, and we need perseverance in the competing. It's a miserable thing to do two-a-days when you're in football practice. It's a miserable thing to run and keep running. It's a miserable thing to train and to feel the muscles and to keep expanding. And it's a waste of energy if you never compete, if you never run. We must persevere in the time of training, but when it comes time to compete, when it comes time to run the race, we must run with perseverance. Because I guarantee in the midst of the race, when you're in the middle of the race, you're going to hit a wall. You're going to come across a time when you don't think you can go any further. And you need the perseverance of training and the perseverance of spirit to keep running. Even when it hurts, even when it's difficult, even when you're tired, even when you're weary. Run your race, the race marked out for you. When they prepare for races, they mark the starting lines, the finish lines, they mark lines in between, and you have a lane to stay in. That's the race marked out for you. And it's really easy for us to get anxious about the people that are ahead of us or the people that are behind us or the people that are beside us. That's their race. Your race is in your lane, and God asks us to run in our lane. Pay attention to your reign. Run your race. Run the race that is marked out for you. There are people in the other lanes. There are people in the bleachers giving you directions and instructions, but you have a race to run in spite of everybody else. If you'd like to this morning, turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm going to run the race marked out for me. And you run your race. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, when we measure ourselves by ourselves and we compare ourselves to ourselves, we are not wise. It is foolish to compare our race to somebody else's. It's foolish to compare our church to somebody else's. It's foolish to compare our ministry to somebody else's. God has called you and gifted you with the special gifts and talents and abilities to do what He has called you to do. It doesn't matter as much what everybody else does. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Comparisons result in jealousy. They result in pride. They result in arrogance and anger and frustration and judgments and criticism and disunity. Set your own pace. If you've ever run a race, you'll know that some people run faster than you. And there are some people that run slower than you. And there are some people that don't run at all, but they tell you how. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. You don't have to answer for everybody else's race. You only have to answer for yours. Are you running the race marked out? Do you know what your race is? I'm here to tell you this morning, you might be surprised if you put your heart and life before Jesus. He might share with you some ideas you never thought were possible. He might begin to press on your heart and say, here's what I'd like you to do. Here's the way I want you to run. Disregard what everybody else is doing and begin to run the race that he has called out for you. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We tend to walk in the direction that we're looking. We tend to drive in the direction that we're looking. That's why when you drive past those flashing lights in an emergency vehicle, don't stare at them, because you tend to steer in that direction. You tend to move in the direction that you are looking. If you want to plow a straight row out in the field, you fix your eyes on something across the field that isn't going to move. You fix your eyes on a fence post or a tree or a weed out there, and you go for that item. If you start looking around and looking behind you to admire your work, you will turn with it and you'll get off course. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How many of you use your blinkers? Oh, don't hit somebody else. This is about you and God this morning. How many of you use your blinkers when you're driving? Blinkers are an amazing thing, because they tell the people behind us, in front of us, that we're going to turn. And, you know, I've lived a lot of years in small towns, and I've come to realize that in small towns, everybody knows what you're doing anyway. So you don't have to use your blinkers, because they already know where you're going and when you're going to turn and what you're doing. But it's always a good idea to use your blinkers, even if nobody's looking. Those aren't the blinkers I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about a different kind of blinkers. I'm not a horse expert, but I understand that horses, they have their eyes on the side of their head, and they have a vision that sees like everything around them. Everything but a little bit right in front and right behind. And so they put on horses, I always called them blinders, but they're called blinkers. They put these blinkers on the horses to keep their vision where it needs to be, to get rid of all of the distractions, because a horse in a race, if he's distracted by the horse in the next lane, he could stumble. If a horse is pulling a plow and is distracted by the plow, it could create a mess. So they use the blinkers to keep the horse's vision where it wants to be, to block out the distractions. And those are the blinkers I'm talking about this morning. Are you using your blinkers? This says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If we will fix our eyes on Jesus, everything else doesn't have to interfere. The things of earth, we sing that song, the things of earth will grow strangely dim when we fix our eyes on Jesus. If we fail to keep our eyes on Jesus, we will begin to be distracted by the things around us, by the community around us, by the politics around us, by the happenings around us, by everything around us. And he asks us, fix our eyes on Jesus, because if we're going to stay in our lane and run our race, we have to keep our eyes centered on Jesus. Without him, we'll get off course. And then finally, he says, while it doesn't say this specifically in this passage, I'm going to say, let us also remember the joy. Focus on the joy that is ahead. How many of you like joy? I love to be joyful. I love when things happen. I love victory. And there is a joy that is set before us. The joy of completing a course. Most of the time, the joy is not part of the preparation or part of the project. Sometimes there is a struggle that takes place while we are preparing for what will happen. But we keep our eyes focused on the joy that is set before us, the joy of a job completed, the joy of having lights again, the joy of having a project completed, the joy of having a soul saved, the joy of finishing and completing a task. There may be hardships along the way, but we must focus on the joy that is yet to come. And that's where Jesus, where it says in Hebrews, Jesus, even though for the joy, he set his eyes on the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That doesn't sound joyful. Despising its shame, that's not very joyful. And because of it, he is now set on the right hand of the throne of God. That's where the joy is. That's where the joy came after the work. The joy came after the struggle. And the joy for Jesus was what he saw in our salvation. The joy of you and of me experiencing the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of our lives, and the restoration of a new life, a new creation in Jesus Christ. We were the joy that he was looking at when he hung on the cross and despised its shame. We need to keep our joy in our focus. The joy of family and friends and others receiving Christ. The joy of communities coming to Christ and laying down their burdens. Do not grow weary or lose heart. Jesus can refresh you today. This morning I want to close with a prayer. And a time of prayer at these altars as well. And I don't know what burden you're carrying. I don't know what mountain stands between you and knowing the life that Jesus offers, the joy. But I'm here to tell you today that that mountain can be removed. It can be removed in times of prayer at these altars. I'm going to ask you this morning, what is slowing you down or stopping you from running? He says, let us lay aside, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. How many of you have something that you need to throw off this morning? I'm not going to ask what it is. I'm not going to pry into that. But, you know, if you're honest, and I'm honest, almost every day God says there's something that needs to go. Something that's trying to grip you and hold you back. What is stopping you or slowing you from running? And this morning I'd invite you just to step out of your seat, come to these altars. I believe there's a prayer team that would come and pray with you as well. And just between you and God, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell anybody else, but would you just come and lay it aside? Just step out of your seat. Be bold and step out of your seat. Maybe there's others of you that are just weary and need to be refreshed. You're tired of the race. You've been persevering. You've been struggling. You've been pressing on, but you are weary and you are tired. And you need Jesus to refresh you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to refresh you. I'm going to invite you to just step out of your seat and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Refresh me, renew me, give me a fresh day. In Jesus, I pray. Just step out of your seat, any of these things. And then finally, ask yourself, where is my focus? Is my focus on Jesus? Or have I been distracted? If you've been distracted today, it may be a sin. It may just be a hindrance. I don't know. But again, I'm going to invite you, just step out of your seat and come and say, Lord, help me to get rid of the distractions. Help me to get my eyes on you. How many of you need to get your eyes on Jesus? Let's do that this morning. The worship team is going to sing. These people are going to pray. You're welcome to join them at any time. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord Jesus, today, I thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit and of your word. today, Lord, as our hearts are brought before you and laid bare before you, I pray, Jesus, that you would bring the salvation of souls, that you would bring the recommitment of souls, that you would refocus us on your work, Lord Jesus. May we run with perseverance so that we can gain the victory and gain the prize in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.